You know, I just want to say something on that. It's always kind of hard to for me to pray because, we've talked about this before, but when we have tribulations and those kind of things in our life, we don't know what's good for us, do we? We think that to get rid of all problems and everything works fine is what we're all about, right? But it doesn't create a lot of maturity and that kind of thing. So I think, how do we pray for this? Well, we pray for the peace, first of all. Amen. And then we pray that God will work in us whatever he wants to work in us through all these trials and tribulations that we go through, because we're going to talk a little bit about that today. All right. We're in a series called Unchained. I think that's Paul's message in a nutshell, is he wants us unchained, unshackled, so to speak. And so I have these sub-sentences. Grace has set us free. Why don't we live by it? And I thought, you know what? Isn't it funny, like when you get an email or something, you can interpret the thought however you want to interpret it, negative or positive. And I thought, wait a minute, why don't we live like it is not an accusation in my mind, but it's a real question of the heart. Why aren't we living it in our life, in some areas, other areas we may be? And I think the answer is because a lot of times we don't know how. We just flat out don't know how. And we've been visiting God's desire in Galatians for us to stay out of the spiritual trouble and to live in God's grace, God's freedom. And what do we mean by that? Well, God has given us a freedom from legalism and rules, which, if you remember, only drives us to sin when we try to practice these rules to reform ourselves, and we end up losing our freedom and the peace that God gives us. And so you remember the verse that we have, the strength of sin is the law. And so when we start trying to do all these rules and regulations, it drives us more into sin, not less. And Paul's saying, no, wait a minute, you're free. And so they fester, we try to muscle them out, and it's just a natural rebellion in us, right, to go against the rule. In fact, let me just say this, okay? I'm going to take 5 seconds here. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to not say a swear word in your mind. Ready? 5 seconds. Go. Okay, heads up. Now do you understand what I'm saying? You're either fighting it or you're doing it. And it's just that natural rebellion. And so God has done this amazing thing of completely changing the way we look and grow in him. And we have this journey, and we can listen to the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who the Bible says is communicating spiritual things to us. I love this verse out of 1 Corinthians. We're going to read it in a couple seconds. But I look at that and think, we might call it our activated spiritual conscience. Because we all have a conscience, whether we're saved or not, right? But when the Holy Spirit comes in, we have this spiritually activated conscience, and he warns us and teaches us what we need to do and think, and we grow to become sensitive to that voice within us. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 2:13, and I've read this a number of times because we need to know it really by heart is what we need to know it. And I got this out of the Net Bible because it really does the best job of it. And it says, and we speak about these things not with words taught by human wisdom, but with those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Now, don't let that go past. Think about that for a second. The Spirit explains spiritual things to spiritual you and me. And then it says in verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. And when I first read that, I thought, wow, that's wild. We have the mind of Christ. And if we do, then we are being communicated to the mind of Christ in us. And it's, we kind of know what to do. And we don't always listen, do we? Okay? In fact, I had Debbie, and Debbie and I went down Friday, Friday. We went down to Denver, and we always take the light rail. We get on to Central Park, and it only cost me $1 because I'm so old, okay? And she has to pay $3, I think, and then we just go right down to Union Station, and we're going up on the Free Mall bus because we're headed to the art museum, and we're talking back and forth, and I went to make this off-the-cuff remark for her and I, okay? And I thought, yeah, I think it's funny. And this little voice in me is saying, don't do it. Now, have you heard that voice before? Yeah, okay. Thank you for those hands. All right, okay. So all five of us have heard it. No, I'm just kidding. And so I thought, well, it's harmless. So I said it, and Deb just looked at me, you know, like, what are you, from Mars or what, you know? And I thought, why didn't I listen? You know, it wasn't that big a deal. But when I started doing this, I thought, no, I didn't need to say that. And she was fine. She just looked at me and didn't say anything. And we went on our way on the bus and never probably thought about it again until I put it in my sermon. But the bottom line is, why didn't I just listen? I can always keep my mouth shut. That really works, doesn't it? But we have to tussle with this because we have two opposing forces at play in our life that Paul talks about. And he gives us tools on how to work with these two opposing forces. And he's above given us the inner working. So I want to look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And I'm going to read the underline and you read the non-underline. This is our scripture for today. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I love that section. I love it, and I hate it. And I think as I go through this, you'll see why I could say both. Because this one is probably one of the most important passages in the Bible for us to wrestle with. Because it answers the question for all of us at one time or another. And so these questions come to our mind. For instance, like, why in the world has it taken me so long to be a better Christian and be more mature? Right? Ever ask yourself that question? Or, let's see. You might have asked yourself, I thought by now I wouldn't struggle so much with anger. Why is it taking me so long to get it under control? And I've heard that a lot, okay? Or, I still get tempted by pornography. When am I not going to be tempted anymore? Or, I go to church every Sunday, but I still have many doubts. Why is it taking me so long to get mature? Or, I thought I'd be a better Christian by now, but I still have so many bad habits. How long is it going to take me to outgrow these habits? Anybody have questions like that? Yeah. Why am I even asking, huh? Well, most of us wish we had an answer to those questions, and we might be assuming that upon coming to Christ, that we would rapidly grow wings out of our back and we just flap on up into heaven, right? And guess what? Not there yet. It just doesn't happen that way. And you know, sometimes I get blown away by how God does things. Because he always does it the opposite of what we think, right? And so God has seen fit that even though we are being made in the likeness of Christ, it seems to take a while. And sometimes that little bit seems to be very little bit indeed. Do you ever find that? Sometimes you're walking in your walk in Christ and it seems like things are rapidly happening, and then other times it seems like, man, when am I going to change here? You know, and I thought a perfect example of this is, you know, the children of Israel in the Old Testament. And Moses goes up on the mountain, dies, and Joshua takes over, and they go into the promised land. And so as they go into the promised land, God is telling Joshua some of the battle plans. And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, God could have just poofed out the enemy, right? Just killed off all the enemy, they drop dead, and then Israel goes in and takes over. But that's not what happens. Joshua goes in with the army, and they battle, and they battle, and they battle till Joshua gets too old to battle. And they fight off these enemies, and they begin to possess the land, and you stop and think about it, and how, you know, it's funny because the Bible says that basically if you get money, the Proverbs says easy come, easy go, right? If you get an inheritance, you spend it right away. If you work for it, you keep it. And it is almost the same way with these enemies. These Hebrews are fighting with Joshua, and they're fighting for every inch of that land that they're supposed to have and been promised. And it took them years to possess that final, the entire land. And I don't even know that they ever possessed the entire land ever that God gave them. And then, if that isn't enough, they have to fight to keep it. And I believe this is a picture of the Christian life. There's victory to be had in the Christian life, but it will not come easily, and it certainly won't come quickly, and it requires choice on our part to listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen? We are in a warfare with spiritual enemies who will not easily yield or give their ground up. And whether we wish to admit it or not, we struggle with sin and temptation as long as we're alive. I figured by the time I got here in my life, I'd have everything pretty licked. Sorry to give you the bad news. I feel like in some ways I've actually fallen backwards in places. Do you ever feel that way? And then you think, man, I had that licked, and now it's unraveling, and I got to re-ravel it again. So, we are in a struggle that sin and temptation is with us as long as we're alive. So let's close in prayer. No, I'm just kidding. You know, that would be a bad sermon, wouldn't it? Our job is not to avoid the enemy, but learn how to fight and deflect the enemy. Because there is no let up from the struggle. And I think as Christians, we need to accept that, understand that, and get into prayer and listen to the Holy Spirit, because there's no let up. And that's one major reason why it takes so long for any of us to grow to maturity. And we may be growing much faster than we think. I remember when I first came to Colorado and I worked for an envelope company, and so a guy got me a job there, and it was just cutting envelopes. So I was cutting envelopes all day long. Over and over and over, and I went through this time where I just felt like, man, Satan is spanking me bad. I was built for management. I was not built for production work. I'm not built low to the ground and wide, you know, like a lot of those production workers are. And so I held my own, but it killed me. One day, finally, I fell on this pad of paper that I was cutting. And I had pneumonia because I was working so hard and fighting so hard and praying so hard through this whole thing. It happened for about nine months. When the 9 months was over, and I kept on saying, Lord, could you take this away from me? All this stuff going on in my head. You ever been there? And so after about 9 months, I said, Lord, I can't take it anymore. And it all went away. Everything was calm. And I looked at my life, and I had speedily matured. And I thought, wait a minute, Lord, bring it back. You know, because I was maturing like crazy. I was really understanding Satan's world and God's world and what the difference is in my life. And I was growing, and I didn't know it till it was over. And when it was over, I thought, oh, I gave in to the beast and asked God to stop. And he did. And he didn't do that again in my life. The rest of it, I just had to trek along, just like you, right? So let me make a statement that might be obvious to you, but let's see. Maturity is not a spiritual gift. Okay? In fact, maturity is not a gift at all. Other than that, God helps us into maturity, and that may be a gift. It has to be earned. In order to help us grasp this truth, I want to break this down into four crucial statements with a little backup. The first one's long, the others aren't as long. Number one, struggle is a normal part of the Christian life. Okay, now I know that's going to offend some of you right off the bat. Struggle is a normal part of the Christian life. Consider this. Many Christians prefer not to hear this truth because they want Christianity to be all victory at all time. Right? We don't like it if something happens in our life and we start suffering and we start growing, but we don't realize we're growing. We can only see the suffering. And so we pray, God, take this out of my life. God, take this out of my life. God, put this in my life. And we're telling them how to raise us. We're like the kid with the father telling the father how we should be raised, right? Yeah, if you don't do that, I'll call social services. You know. They want to guarantee that all their problems will be solved if they just simply follow the right formula, right? Pray for the right words, live by the right rules, and then they'll be victorious. And I've seen people go down this channel headstrong, focused on this formula that's going to get them close to God. And somewhere along the line, it unravels. And I'd like to say, if you feel like you follow formulas to get to your spiritual life, how's it working for you? It just doesn't work very well. It's not realistic, nor is it biblical. It's just a dream. Actually, a nightmare at times when it's fulfilled, because it destroys our faith. Here's what Paul says to us, a combination of two or three verses. We are to fight the good fight of faith, putting on the whole armor of God, standing in the evil day and enduring hardship as good soldiers. That's what he tells us to do. In verse 17 is abundantly clear in this regard. For the flesh, and the flesh is that sinful side of us, the spirit is the Holy Spirit side. And he says, for the flesh has desires that are opposed to the spirit, and the spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that, or for the purpose that, you cannot do what you want to do. And have you ever felt that? You know, anybody that has a little bit of Bible on them usually goes right to Romans 7. It says, what I want to do, I can't do. And we go through that thing. Well, it's true. And Paul ends that with, oh, wretched man that I am, who can rescue me from this body of death? For the flesh has desires that are opposed to the spirit, and the spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that for the purpose that you cannot do what you want to do. Two principles I see out of this are at war against us. As I said, one's called the flesh, the other's called the spirit. These two principles are consistent, relentless, continuously opposed to each other, and they are constantly at war with one another, and it's all up here, right? It's all up here, and we feel that war all the time, and we think, well, gosh, maybe I'm not a Christian because I feel this war. I keep wanting to do the bad stuff, right? And so Paul uses the term flesh for this corrupt nature that was inside of us from our first breath. And you know how that is. I can remember I was so blown away by my oldest son when he was born. And I think about nine, he's the most manipulative little sinner I had ever met. And all you parents know what I'm talking about, right? Boy, you don't have to have much age on a kid. You just see it right off the bat. The rebellion. You know, I could do it myself, all those type of things. And that's part of us, the depraved nature, the one that's hostile to God, selfish and utterly evil. Then we come to Christ and we become a new creation, and His Holy Spirit comes to live in our heart. And the dominating power of the flesh is broken. But dang it, and I know when I say dang it, some of you are thinking I'm church swearing, right? Yeah. Well, I don't care. Dang it, the pull of evil remains in us. It remains in us. And one writer put it this way that I was reading. He says, evil desires arise from the flesh like smoke from a chimney. And to say it another way, flesh is what we are by natural birth. The spirit comes to us by our spiritual birth. And then we wrestle with the two. So let me just draw a few conclusions. The flesh and spirit are fundamentally opposite. Okay? The conflict between the flesh and the spirit is continual and inevitable in your Christian life. And three, the conflict produces conflicting desires in the believer. Now, I hope for some of you that's a relief. It becomes a relief when we realize that we're all struggling in the same way and we all need each other. So consequently, the same mouth and mind, we curse and we're encouraging. We love and we hate. We serve and then we steal. We proclaim Christ and then we lie to our friends. We read the Bible and then we watch questionable material. We sing and worship, and then we flirt with an attraction. And it goes on and on and on. The manifestations may differ, but for all of us, we feel and know the struggle. Amen. And you know, it's good to know that, because it's good to know we're in the body of Christ. Amen. You know, years ago, I would hear Christian speakers say this, and it would drive me crazy. And they would say, if you come to Christ, all your problems will be solved. You remember that? Oh, man. Every time they said that, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? But the truth really is, if you come to Christ, your problems have just started. As a lost person, you sin because it's your nature. And it doesn't bother you unless you get in trouble. As a Christian, you have a new nature that pulls you towards God while the flesh remains in you till that last breath in your life. In one sense, Christians have conflicts the unsaved will never understand, right? They won't know it. They can't understand. Our rewards are great, but so are our struggles. Number two. We have got to know who we are. If you know, and you do, we ought to praise God for the war within us, the deadly feud between the flesh and the spirit, because, my friends, it is a positive sign if you have this struggle that you're a child of God. You wouldn't have this struggle if you weren't. Do you hear that this morning? Can you hear that with your heart? Do you desire to be holy? Do you desire to please the Lord? Is there a hunger in your heart to know Jesus and to love Him? Do you desire to live a higher and better life even than what you can attain right now? If the answer is yes, you have strong evidence that you're a child of God. Despite your personal failings, if you truly want to do what God wants you to do, even in the conflict, then you may rest in the hope that you are God's child. That's proof. It's proof. Did you hear me this morning? You wouldn't have that. Number three, this struggle produces great benefits. It's crucial to remember that God allows this struggle as part of our ongoing spiritual growth, just like Israel fighting and having to fight to gain the land. Strange as it may seem, we need that struggle. We need that struggle because that's the only way we know how to grow in grace. It's the only way that we learn to choose righteousness. So here's a few benefits, and I put them up here. It reveals our inherent weakness, doesn't it? Is that positive? Yeah. It kills our pride and arrogance. It humbles us again and again and again and again. It forces us to cry out to God. It reveals the uselessness of human effort. It teaches us to rely on God alone. It causes us to love Jesus Christ because He went through the battle too. It leads us to a life of trust in Him. It makes us more watchful against sin. It makes us long for the rest that we will have in heaven. It encourages us to develop habits of holiness. It forces us to lean on our brothers and sisters. It leads us to look for daily solutions instead of instant miracles. Number four, God's desire is that we walk in the Spirit. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So what's the application? Let's walk and journey in the Spirit, amen? Listen to what God says and reminds you of. He's whispering to you because that's what the Scripture says. Can you hear Him? And a lot of you may feel like, no, I've never heard that. It sounds kind of a little weird. There's a constant noise in your head as you go through life. And you hear the good and you hear the bad. The good is the Holy Spirit. Just like when I was on that bus and I, you know, it's not in words, is it? It's just in mind. Steve, don't say that thing. Oh, blah, 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 blah. I think, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Right? Amen? Next week, we're going to talk about this battle and our defenses to that battle. So, hope you can come next week. I hope the Super Bowl doesn't put you into a two-week depression. Well, the Broncos aren't playing, so who cares? Okay. So, but anyhow, come next week because we're going to talk about all those tools that we can use to fight off this flesh that so hounds us. But like I said, and I want to finish with this, if we're hounded by the flesh, that's because we're the children of God. Amen? Don't you love that? How great is our God? Amen. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for that just set of verses in Galatians where Paul is telling us we have this struggle. He's having this struggle. Everybody that's been born has had that struggle. And Lord, we even know in Jesus Christ that he said he was tempted in all things. He had that same struggle, yet without sin. Help us to be more like Christ. Help us to listen to that voice and say, okay, I'm going to listen to that, to the Holy Spirit rather than the flesh. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this series of being unchained, Lord, help us to be able to understand the tools that we have to fight the flesh as much as possible. But also remember, if we give in to the flesh, we are yours. We are your children. That is without repentance. You will keep us as children till we're there. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.